Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening.
Amen.
I told the man in the prayer room, we oftentimes take for granted coming into the house of the Lord. And I mention this quite a bit when I get up to preach, but we really do sometimes. And I was talking with the man in the prayer room about taking the house of the Lord for granted and being able to come to church. 5 years ago this month was COVID. That's crazy. This month. And that just seems unreal. But I remember personally being just, it was just shock, just not being able to come to church. I mean, we'd come and we'd, you know, record videos or whatnot, but like, we didn't have church services like we are now. We didn't have, if I'm not mistaken, we didn't have our first official church service until second week of May, I think. I think it was second week of May. So we went from like a week ago, 5 years ago, until the second week of May without having a church service like we are now. I guess that's a reminder for us just not to take, because we don't know if that's going to happen again. We don't know what's in the future. It may happen tomorrow. We don't know. I hope not. But we don't know what's in the future. But anyways, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, nonetheless. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you've got your Bible, and I hope that you do, turn over to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. I've had this outline for a while, and I've only been able to preach it once. It wasn't even here. But the Lord laid it on my heart a couple of days ago as I was studying. Had something else, completely something else in mind to preach, but Lord steered me in a different way. And so I hope I'll follow the Lord and preach what needs to be preached. But Ezekiel chapter number 37, we'll start in verse number 1, work our way down to verse number 14. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinew upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, so they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet in an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, And I shall place you in your own land, and then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, what I want to preach this evening is if we want reviving. That's what I want the title to be. We're having our revivals coming up with Brother Wells here in 3.5 weeks. Like I said a minute ago, I can't believe we're already getting this close to the revival, but Lord really impressed upon me to preach on getting ready for revival, because I know we can just cruise on into revival, we can show up every service, but if we're not praying, if we're not expecting God to do something, nothing's going to be done. I mean, praise the Lord that we'll be able to come into church and hear the message, but the Lord may not move if we're not seeking Him. But what I want to preach on is if we want reviving, number one, to be revived, you have to realize your deadness. Revival is about reviving your spirit, reviving yourself. You have to realize that you're dead. We're drying up. We're like, the state you're in is not good enough. We need to have a step closer to God. We need to always be in a state of, I need to get closer to God. If we're comfortable in the spot we're in right now, we're behind. I mean, that's just a fact. Recognize your need. We're always in need of a step closer to God. We can see in verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the spirit and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones." That means they had been dead for a minute. They'd been dead for a good minute. They weren't just slain. It said in one of the verses, I underline it and I can't see it, but it said they were slain. They hadn't been slain just 5 seconds ago. This army, this great army, it says in verse 10, this didn't just happen. They had been defeated. And now the man of God comes into the valley. And in verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. There wasn't just one or two. This was a great army, it says. This was a great army. We can look at it as the church. It's not just one or two, the whole church. We need to take a step further. We need to take a step closer to God. We need reviving again. It's not just Josh Doherty, just doesn't need just me reviving. Brother Adam, you need reviving. Brother Ronnie, you need reviving. Miss Mary, you need reviving. We all need reviving. Amen. Number two, if we want reviving, do we want to be revived? We're not going to, if we don't want to be revived, if we don't want to take a step further, God gave us 100%. Now, people, I've heard of people that will argue with 100% free will. We have free will. If we want reviving, we're going to have to want it. We can't just expect it to just kind of come upon us. We got to be longing. The revival we had back, it's been 2 years now, or a year ago now. I think it's been a year ago, almost 2 years in August, when we had Riley get saved, Malachi get saved, John got saved, and Brother Danny's boy get saved. I was thinking about that revival in particular as I was studying this message, and I was thinking to myself, what did we change? Like, we haven't had a revival like that. Like, that was one of the best revivals I have ever been in, hands down, especially in here. And the Lord reminded me for weeks, we prayed over at First Baptist. We prayed here every week. Some people, several times a week, we'd all come together and we'd all pray. Amen. Seeking the Lord. That was not in vain. Let me just tell you. Even if just one of them had gotten saved, that still wasn't in vain, let alone four of them got saved. Praise the Lord. But we don't need to just go into revival expecting it to happen, but not putting any effort into it. I've never done anything where I didn't put any effort into it that it didn't benefit, that it did benefit me. Everything I've ever done that benefited me, unless it was given to me, like salvation, I had nothing to do with my salvation except for repenting. That was it. Lord did the rest. But anything in this life besides salvation, you always have to put forth an effort. Do we want to put forth an effort into being revived? Are we really longing for that revival in our hearts to be, or are we just fine being in this valley that we're in, just being dry bones? Just, well, I'm here. You know, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not moving over there. I'm happy where are we really happy with where we're at? I mean, that's a really good question to ask ourselves seriously. Seriously. I know we always say, oh, I could be closer to God. Yes, we can. But do we really think about it? Do we really think about, man, you know what? I really want to get closer to God. Do we really want to be revived? You can recognize the problem all day. Like, yeah, you know, anybody could just say, yeah, I got problems. I need to fix them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But it's only when you fix them, when you actually recognize it and like, I need to change this and actually take initiative, grab it, and like actually do something about it. But what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to, yeah, we need revival. We need revival. I mean, you ask any church-going person, do we need revival? Oh, yeah. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about our need? The quote, you're as close to God as you want to be. I've heard it a lot, especially recently. I don't know why. But I've heard it a lot recently. You're as close to God as you want to be. I've got this question for you. Do you want to be?
Right.
Amen.
Do I want to be? Do I want to be as close to God as I want to be right now? Am I content just being right in my valley, being dry bones? It says separated. Separated.
Right.
Back, wow, that's crazy. Back when we, what I was just talking about, when COVID hit, we were separated.
You're right.
We didn't see a lot of each other for weeks.
Right.
Weeks. We were all separated.
Right.
And do we want to be separated like that? Are we content just being separated from the brethren, separated from our parts, our sinew not being held together, the muscle not being there, the strength within us? Are we okay with that? Are we really okay with that? I mean, I'm not comfortable. We can say that all day. All day long, we could say, I'm not comfortable where. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? In verse number 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Can we be revived again? Can we be revived again? I can give you an answer. Because, you know, we just read through this story right here. And it's not just a story, it's true.
Amen.
But we just read through here, God did.
Amen.
But it wouldn't have happened. It would not have happened. Number three, if we want revival, are we willing to listen to God?
Amen.
It wouldn't have happened if Ezekiel hadn't listened to God. He told him to prophesy. God told him to prophesy in verse number 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And these bones came together, bone to his bone, started coming back together. Hey, when God told him, hey, you're dried up, he saw it. We can see it all day. We can see that we're dry. We can see that we're backslid. We can see this and we can see that all day. We can ask the question, do we need revival? Well, yes, we do. The third, number 3, if we want revival, Are we willing to listen to God?
Amen.
That comes with obedience. This whole thing wouldn't have happened. Think of all the other ones in the Bible. I mean, well, we could turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 when it's that chapter of faith. I mean, that is the chapter of faith. It names all the faithful ones in the Bible. And if they didn't have faith in the Lord, like, yeah,
right.
Lord's, I don't know what in the world he's going to do. I mean, Goliath, David, going up against Goliath, he could have, well, I know the Lord can do that. But I think I'm going to just stay back here with my brothers. No, he saw an issue. Goliath was cursing God. He was cursing the house of Israel. He said, I've had enough of this. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for revival?
Right.
Is there not a cause for us to get out of the valley of dry bones that we're in? Is there not a cause? I mean, there is a cause. There is a cause. But do we want it? Do we want to chase after it? It's not going to be easy. Going after it is never easy. The Christian life is never easy. Contrary to all these social media pastors, the Christian life is not easy. It doesn't get easier when you get in, and it doesn't get easier on the way, but the Lord helps us.
Amen.
The Lord blesses us. You'll have way more blessings after you trust in the Lord than you had before, than you'd ever have, ever.
Amen.
And I think of my life. If I would have just stayed... If I wouldn't have trusted in the Lord as a 7-year-old boy, where would I be today? I mean, seriously. Seriously. Like, if we look at our lives, if we didn't get saved, like, look, think in your mind of someone your age, same year you were born. And think of if they're not a church-going person, if they're not saved, think of the difference. I mean, I think of where I came from. Fayetteville, North Carolina, they call it Fayette-Nam. It is not a good place. It is not a good place. And I go back there and I see all these boys my age. I'm fixing to turn 21 Saturday. I'm fixing to turn 21. You know how crazy that is to me? There's boys that have done way more alcohol, way more drugs. Everything. And they're still not 21 yet. I mean, turning 21 does not give you a right to do that in the eyes of God. That is, but I just think I have never drank alcohol. I've never took drugs. I'm pure. What 21-year-old man, if you go out into this world, find a 21-year-old man, someone, a guy my age, born in 2004, ask him if he's pure. Ask him if he's drunk alcohol. Ask him if he's done drugs. The Lord has seriously blessed me. I mean, I don't take that for granted. I really don't. And I'm not bragging on myself. I hope y'all know that I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying if I hadn't trusted in the Lord, how my life would be different. How my life would be different. That's what I'm getting at. I hope none of y'all took that as me bragging on myself. None of that's me. That's all the Lord. That if it was up to me, I'd be in the same slump. I'd be in the same valley of dry bones that they're in. They don't know the blessings I know. They don't know the Bible that I know. They don't know the God that I know. That's all the Lord. That's all the Lord. But are we willing to listen to God? It's that call. It's that knock. It's that knock. He's asking us to do something. Are we willing to open up that door? Like, yeah, he's at the door. He's knocking. Oh, yeah, he's over there. I hear him. In fact, I can hear him breathing through this wall. It's crazy. But are we willing to open up that door and step through the door? Are we willing to take that step into it? Genesis chapter number 7, verse number 5. I've preached from that passage before. That was actually the first message that I ever preached. And it was that was the verse that God had when he was calling me to preach. That was the verse. I asked the Lord, "Lord, give me a verse, because I don't want to just step into this and it not be you." Let's real quick. Let's just turn over to Genesis chapter number 7. Genesis chapter number 7. I didn't know what this verse said. I mean, when he told me to go look at this verse, I had no idea what this verse said. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 5. "And Noah did according unto all the Lord, all that the Lord commanded him." He told him there was, he told him he needed to do this. He told him he needed to do that. But if he didn't do it, if he hadn't listened, we quite literally wouldn't be here. Think of where the future, think of how, word this in a way that it makes sense. If we don't follow God with the little stuff, how do we expect God to give us the big stuff to actually, like, make a big impact? Like a David and Goliath situation. If David wasn't faithful in the little things, protecting the sheep, that was little in comparison. He became the king of Israel. But if he hadn't gotten the hands-on experience of leading the sheep, think of what led him to becoming the shepherd of the sheep. I mean, there was little steps. He didn't just dive right in headlong. No, him coming up, this is how you take care of them. Yeah. This is how you feed them. This is where you need, this is the pasture they need to go in here. This is the pasture they, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. I'm not just rambling. He had to learn the little stuff.
Yeah.
He had to learn the little tiny stuff before he became the shepherd. Then he became the shepherd, and now he's got hands on. This is his flock. This is mine now. That's his responsibility. All that's in his hands. That's all in his hands. If one goes missing, I can't blame that on Jim. Jim wasn't over here. That's on David. You know what I'm saying? That's all his responsibility now. So he's got to direct that sheepfold where it needs to go. He needs to fight off the enemies. Bible talks about a bear. He whooped that bear. If he hadn't whooped the bear, if he would have... Listen, if it was me, even with a 1911, I'd been, you know, a little scared. He didn't even have that. He had a staff. And yet he still slew the bear. He saw that that was his responsibility. That sheepfold was his responsibility because he had done the little things. The little things added up. Now he's got this big thing. Well, here a few years later, that sheepfolds. Dude, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back. Instead of being the king of Israel, now I've got to rule over all these people. I mean, that's a big jump. That's a very big jump, but it's all the little things. If he hadn't picked up this, if he hadn't picked up that, if he didn't obey the person, whoever, I'm sure it was probably his father, honestly. If he didn't listen, if he didn't obey what his father is teaching him, the little things, here, 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 he wouldn't know how to lead the sheep. If he didn't learn those little things with the sheep, he would never been fit to be the king of Israel. What I'm saying is, sometimes the little things in our lives, you know, we expect the really big things, like all of a sudden, and, you know, now that may happen. But God will place those little things in your path. Just like, learn from this, learn from that. So when the big things do come, oh, it's a big thing, all right. Goliath was a very big thing. He took on a bear. He took on this and he took on that one. He had to lead the sheep around in the middle of the night, no doubt. But a giant's a whole bigger deal. This is a living, breathing man. And it's not just a man, same height as him. It's not even just a little bit taller. This is a giant. I mean, this was a literally very big thing in David's life. I mean, it was a very big thing in David's life. He had took the little steps. If he hadn't learned to fight off the bear, if he hadn't learned to fight off the lion, how would he know how to sling a slingshot? If he didn't learn how to do those things, if he didn't, I'm sure someone taught him. If he didn't listen, if he didn't obey those little things here and there, that's where it gets us. Because we see these little things and we're like, that doesn't mean anything. Ah, I can go today without reading my Bible. I can go today without praying over this, praying over that. But when the big stuff comes, how are we going to know how to read our Bible? When someone has a dire need, when someone's like, severely depressed, when someone is in dear need of the scripture and they come to us, how are we going to know what to give them? If we don't have a relationship with God, if me and Adam never talked, I'm talking never talked. If I just saw him at church, I didn't even say hi to him. If I just saw him at church, whatever, I wouldn't know what he does. I wouldn't have any relation with him. He wouldn't know. I mean, like, oh yeah, that's the pastor's son. But I'm like, oh yeah, that's the guy that takes up the offering. But if I didn't ever talk to him, I wouldn't have any relation with him. Not at all. I wouldn't, if I needed help with something, there's a tree I need to get took down. This is too big for me. Oh yeah. Adam cuts down trees. He clears up brush. I'll just give him a call. If we don't have a relationship with God, and we don't know that he might be able to handle this, there's a big problem come up. Oh yeah, God can take care of this. He helped David. He can help me. He helped this and he can help me. If we don't have a relationship with, what I'm saying is, if we don't have a relationship with God, how are we going to have any faith that God can do it? What's going to be the first thing on our mind? It's not going to be God. I can promise you that. If we don't have any relationship with God, and it comes time for a trouble, because there will be. This life is full of them. I mean, if you go any bit of time without a trouble or trial, I want to know what you're doing. Like at all. I mean, but if those things come up, and we don't have any bitter relationship with God, he's definitely not going to be the first thing we think of. I mean, he's not. If I didn't have any relationship with my brothers, if, yeah, they're just my brothers, you know, never talked to them, I didn't go visit them, they didn't visit me. If there was no relationship between me and my brothers, and I had no idea that they knew anything about vehicles, and I'm over here stuck on the side of the road with a pulley tensioner that's been locked up, I wouldn't know what to do. I didn't. So I called my brother. He knew exactly what to do. You see what I'm saying? I'm not just going on. I promise I'm getting somewhere with this. If we don't have any relationship with God, God's not going to be the first thing that pops up in our minds when a trouble comes along. But if we do, and that trouble comes along, we're going to see it coming. It may just flash out of nowhere. Yes, sir. I'm sure for David, when that line came up, I'm sure he did. He wasn't like looking at it from a long off, like, that seems to be coming my way. I'm sure it probably just popped out of nowhere. I'm sure with that bear, it just popped out of the wood line, grabbed one of them sheep. He, oh my soul, took off after that thing. If we have a relationship with God, God's going to be the first thing that comes to. If David didn't wield that, if he didn't practice
we don't practice?
Yes, sir.
With this? If we don't use this, this is not going to be the, when troubles come up, this is not going to be the first thing on our mind. We're, oh my soul, oh no, and that's what we do. We're a human. That is what I do, that's what you do when a trouble comes up. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we start stressing over it. But when we have a relationship with God, when we're in this all the time, oh yeah. He said, cast all your cares upon me.
Amen.
He careth for me.
Right. Yeah.
And then we get past that little issue, we're like, what even was that? God's got, nothing's impossible with God.
Amen.
If we had a relationship with him, we'd know that. We'd get through all this stuff. I mean, it's only human nature to ever worry about something. This goes against all human nature. Prove me wrong. To trust in something we can't even see? Adam, I barely trust in things I do see. You know what I'm saying? I barely trust in things I do see, let alone to go against every bit of my human mind, to go against that, say, you know what? I believe that there was a man, 33 years old, came into this world to save the whole world. Not just his friends, not just his buddies. If it was up to me, there's some people in this world, I'm like, you know, that's me, I'm human. You know, if there was some reason that I had to save anybody, first people, friends, family. But the whole world? Love your enemy as yourself? That goes against every bit of your human wiring, the way that you're wired. If we want revival, getting back to the original, if we want revival, we need to listen to God. We need to obey God. The little things that he puts along the way, that he tells us in his word. It's not just like, yeah, find your way through the dark. Just kind of like, feel around. You may find it. You may not. No, he has it plain and clear in black and white, and the best ones are in red.
Amen.
He has it clearly stated in his word.
Right.
And because people fought for this, people gave, a lot of people gave their lives for me to be able to just to hold it. Some people did had like a book, maybe a book. I've got all 66 right here in my hands. What do we do with it? He gave it to us. Are we obeying the words that he has in this? Are we obeying the little stuff, just the little stuff? Pray every day. Read our Bible. Have faith in him. Are we trusting in God? Because once we start trusting in God, that's when God's going to test our trust a little bit more. Trust it a little, test it just a little bit more. You're never going to grow if you just do the exact same thing every single day. If you do the exact same thing every day, take working out for example. If you get a 2-pound weight, and you just curl that thing. Well, it's kind of starting to hurt. Switch over. Curl that thing. And if you don't step it up, prep it up a little bit, you're never going to grow. You never will. I mean, in fact, you might lose if you don't add on. If you don't change something up. If we don't take those little things that God puts in our way, that he says, do this, live holy.
Amen.
Live holy.
Amen.
That's a big thing. Live holy. Live like me. At least look like me. At least talk like me. Don't be going around cussing everybody. Don't be going around cussing what I have made. Have you ever thought of that? When someone cusses, God made everything.
Yes.
You're cussing something God made. That puts it in a whole new light. I mean, I'm not saying any of y'all cuss. I'm not saying that. I hope you don't. But what I'm saying is, when people curse and they claim to be a Christian, God made everything. You're cussing something God made. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. Anyways, what if it's something, what if we do all the little steps? What if we start, Lord starts testing us? We're reading every day. We're growing. We're growing in the Lord. We're seriously taking steps. What about when the Lord tells you, preachers calling for someone to sing, and there's someone in here, and it's you. I want you to sing. I'm not a singer. I know. I know you're not. But I laid that song on your heart a couple hours ago. Just a couple hours ago. It's still ringing in your mind. You can't get it out of your mind. Reckon why that is? I can't sing. You sure can't talk. How about you humble yourself a little bit? But do we have too much pride about ourselves? Amen. To humble our flesh. Amen. Humble our own flesh. We might have done the little stuff, but when it comes to pride, that's the biggest kicker. When it comes to our own pride, I didn't go down to the altar several times because I was like, I don't want anybody to think. Who on earth cares what anybody else thinks? That's between you and God. You singing or testifying, that ain't for me to hear. It ain't for Dave to hear. It's not for anybody on the live to hear. That's you giving praise to God. Amen. That's you giving praise to God. Even just standing up to testify. Well, I don't talk good in front of crowds. God has called a lot of people into the ministry because they couldn't talk well in front of crowds. That was me. First time I ever preached, I'd only stood up in front of anybody one other time before that. Think of Aaron. Let's go into the Bible. Think of Aaron. There's a lot. Ask any preacher. If they're not like a really outgoing person, even if they are, ask them. Did you get up in front of people that often? Oh, I couldn't stand it. Be careful. Be careful not wanting to stand up. Because God might just want to just pick you out. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. But what I am saying is, when God's telling you to do something, you're going to let your pride get in the way? Am I going to let my pride get in the way? What if the Lord wanted me to stand up and testify about something I did? That it was not me. But I listened to the Lord. And something happened, and it was all for the glory of God. But I kept it to myself. What if that were to help Chandice? What if Chandice is going through a rough spot, and all she needs to hear is something that happened in my life that God used? What if that's all that's the little key that needed to just fit into the keyhole and turn? And it gets her going, and something she testifies or she sings about gets Miss Ruby going, and Miss Ruby starts testifying, and that gets Brother Mike, and Brother Mike, and it gets Miss Phyllis, and Miss Phyllis, it gets Ashley, and Ashley, it gets Ron. But what if I didn't testify? What if I just let my pride get in the way? But what I just testified last week. I don't want anybody to think. Who on earth cares what you think? Seriously, I mean, if it's to glorify and honor God, that's between you and Him. Amen. That is between you and Him. Are we willing to listen to God. I don't know why he's got me stuck on this. But are we willing to listen to God? Listen to what he says through the little things until it comes to the big thing. Because in the future, if we keep doing them little things, if we keep listening to what God says, we might just have revival. That might just... Ooh, I saw a spark. I don't know if y'all have ever been around some dry leaves. Y'all had a... messing around with a lighter or with some... with a little striker. They catch on really quick. Talking about dry bones. In this passage right here, not right here, let me flip back. In this passage right here, this was a valley. A whole valley. This wasn't just one. Like I said, let's look at this like the church. If it were just me, if I was just dead and I had been dead in some random valley, that'd just be one. No, it was a bunch of them. A bunch of them were slain. A bunch of them were defeated. A bunch of them had gotten into hardship that was bigger than them. And instead of going, now, and I'm not making up some story for what happened. It never says what happened that these got slain. So I'm not making up. I'm just giving an example. What if the reason that they were slain, that they were defeated, was the general told them to do something? They were like, I don't know about that. That's the reason that they had gotten defeated, that they were slain, that they were down in this low valley. And that's all of them. It doesn't just affect one person. If it's true spark, you're not just going to like, if you got a pile of leaves, if you got a whole church, and one spark is set off and it lights one on fire, it ain't just going to leave at one. That leaf is going to touch this leaf, is going to touch that leaf, is going to touch that leaf. And before you know it, the whole church is on fire for God.
Amen.
But if we didn't set that spark, if we didn't listen to the Master, if what God had told us, if we didn't build that ark, we're just in this valley, bunch of dry bones, no one knows their name. And I'm not saying we do this all for our name. In fact, it's the opposite. It's for his name. What I am saying is, if Ezekiel had never listened to God, if he would have looked at this impossible situation, it's like, that's a bunch of dry bones. That's a dry church. This is dry people. They can't get... Lord said, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest, you know, I don't know. From my point of view, they're dead. They've been dead. They're dry. They're not just bones, they're dry bones. It makes that real clear. These are dry bones. They've been gone for a long time. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say upon them, O ye dry bones. He didn't say just bones. O ye dry bones. O ye dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring the flesh. That's putting the muscle on. That's getting them going. Sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And that verse right there, I don't know why. I don't know why. Only God knows why I got stuck on that verse, why the Lord had me get stuck on that verse and in around it that much, because I don't even have that much notes on it. But if we listen to what we're commanded to do,
Amen.
We might just have revival. If we want it, we want to be revived.
Amen.
Number four. and then I'll be done. I promise. Number four, if we want reviving, we need the fire of God to come down. And I won't get into this too much. I don't know, but 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll flip over to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. I've read this story, and I'm sure you have too, 1,000 times. Read over this, looked at it. I mean, maybe all of y'all know what I'm fixing to say. Probably. But 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, we're gonna read a little bit. But there's one part in particular that I want to touch on. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20. We'll start in verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given unto them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at the noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be waked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of their offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullocks in pieces, and cut the bullock into pieces, and laid him up on the altar, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then fire of the Lord fell, and consumed that burnt sacrifice in the wood, and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, The Lord, He is God. Amen. The Lord, He is the God.
Amen.
Through that story right there. That's not just a story. That actually happened. I want to look at one thing in particular, and then I'll be done. One thing in particular the Lord had pointed out to me, and it blew my mind. Verse 33, let's look at it. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and filled four barrels with water and poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Verse 34, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. So that's eight. There's four barrels. Do it the second time. That's eight. They did it the second time. Said, do it the third time. That's 12. 12 times. 35. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. He didn't just stop with the 12 buckets or barrels. He didn't just stop right there. He filled the whole trench around the altar with water. This is the thought that the Lord gave me. Sometimes you have to flood the altar for God to send the fire.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to get into the altar and pray. You have to flood that altar. I'm not just saying, well, one time, I'll go to the altar this time. I'll just go once. What if you don't even go at all? What if you let that pride get in the way of you even going to the altar? Well, I don't want someone to see me and think there's a problem. I got problems. Man, the guy that you're worried about judging you, he's got problems. If anything, he might have more problems because he's judging you. But get that pride out of the way. And you get to the altar. You don't just go once. You keep going. Fervent prayer. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth much. Don't just go to the altar once or twice. Or a third time. In fact, fill the trenches around the altar. Flood that altar. Flood the altar. If you flood the altar, if you listen to God, if we realize if we want revival, and we realize where we're at, we might just have revival. But do you want revival? That's all I've got. Brother Mike, if you want to come finish out the service.